You know, I can be around some people, and I'm built up spiritually by being around them. And others, I do say I feel sapped spiritually when I leave. Now you don't need to be around people all the time that sap your spiritual energy. Try to get the right crowd.
Brother Penn said he'd rather be with you 5 minutes than he would be with us as students all day long, because you know he doesn't feel like he really learned a lot from us. But sitting with you or sitting with somebody.
Well, I was talking about a preacher not long ago. I said, you know, I'd rather just see him walk by than hear some people preach. And I mean that. Just to see him walk by, the inspiration that gives me, the life that I know is behind that. It's that way. And so I think we need to get with people that can be a blessing, mm-hmm. blessing to us. And then he mentions a constant realization of the meaning of spiritual ambassadorship. We're ambassadors. We're God's representatives, aren't we? And that's pretty simple. Christ is not here in person. We are his ambassadors. Paul said that his salvation put him in debt. He said, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise, to the unwise. And so he said, I'm indebted. I owe the gospel to them. You know, I think man ought to pay his debts. And there's no one that we're more indebted to than God and to the lost world. We owe the gospel to them. And then he mentions the true evaluation of the worth and destiny of a soul out of Christ. That leads me to ask the question, how much is a soul worth? Is there any way in the world to compute it, the value of one soul? I've tried to answer that question, and about the best I can do is to turn to Calvary and try somehow to fathom the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that helps me get some idea of how much a soul is worth. And then another way I try to do it is to think, how much is the soul worth in the light of eternity? All responsible people have a choice to make. To make the right choice is to be eternally with God and God's people. Eternal happiness, eternal bliss. To make the wrong choice is to be eternally, irrevocably lost. Now, in the light of that, how much is a soul worth? You know, if people go to hell and stay there a million years and then get out, that'd be bad. Mm-hmm. But there's no way to get out, only one way to stay out. Isn't that true?
Amen.
But somehow we go along rather lightly in our evaluation of a human soul. I never can forget what one preacher said to me about the little dirty children that he had to deal with sometimes. He said, you know, little dirty, snotty old kids, you know. He said sometimes you just, you know, want to tell them to get away. Well, they're eternal beings. I don't understand that attitude. We must think of people in the light of Calvary, what they can be. I'm thinking of one medical doctor that I really love, that at one time was declared one of Arkansas's greatest surgeons. And there's one outstanding characteristic of that man. He does not despise people, no matter who they are or what their station in life may be. And I think that's a good characteristic for any personality. There's a certain respect for humanity that ought to be given a condemned criminal. You know that? Because he is a soul. He is an eternal being. And then I try to evaluate the work of the soul in the light of an eternal hell. And that boggles the mind, you know. You think of people being lost forever. I'll never forget a state senator came to hear me preach one night, and I preached on hell. I've already made up my mind what I was going to preach on, and when he came, it didn't change it. Any. But it was too strong for him. He just said, you know, it's kind of hard for me to believe there is an eternal hell. I mean, that's just strong. You know? That's just strong. I mean, people live and die without Jesus Christ, go to a place of eternal punishment. This is too strong for him. He just didn't quite take that. Mm-hmm. Well, whether he takes it or not, that's the way it is.
Amen.
That's the way it is. And Jehovah's Witnesses are not right. There's no second chance. There's no such thing. If you miss the boat now, you can catch it during the millennium. That's what they say. That's not what the scriptures say. It's in this life. You know, I've been saddened at times when I've heard people talk about a wicked person that has died. Maybe they've suffered for months. And someone would say, some child of God would say, well, at least he's out of his misery. No, he's not. No, he's not out of his misery. He's into it worse. Yeah. You know, why do people talk like that? Here's a wicked, ungodly man that lives and dies without God. No indication that there was ever a change made. No room for God. And they say, well, at least he's out of his misery. Oh no. He's into eternal misery. Isn't he? Mm-hmm. If the word of God, so, and it is. See, these things ought to influence us. They will. If we let them get hold of us and become deep. Conviction. Now, I like to think of of the value of the soul in the light of heaven. Why is that? You know, this heaven forever. You say, well, all good things got to come to an end. It's not heaven. You know, we're just so used to saying that. All good things got to come to an end. Well, here on the earth, yeah. I'll never forget one time I was listening to Arthur Godfrey. I don't know, some of you know who I'm talking about. Quite a star on radio and on TV in recent years. But he was in Miami, and he was at a big swimming party, you know, and he was broadcasting from that, just having the time, he said, of his life. He said, the only sad thing is, he said, it's just got to come to an end, you know, pretty soon. Just got to come to an end. Having a big time, but it's got to come to an end. Well, heaven just doesn't come to an end. I don't believe that we'll just ever finally just live up all the pleasures and say, okay, Lord, this is it. I've experienced it all. I'm bored with the whole thing. Got some other place now. Maybe I can go. I don't know. It's just from now on. There's victory ahead.
Amen.
Isn't that something?
Amen.
There's victory ahead. And the child of God, victory. And we're not condemned criminals. We're criminals, but not condemned. You didn't think I'd say that. We're criminals, but pardon criminals, aren't we?
Amen.
Well, you'll feel better if you say amen on that. just pardon criminals. Aren't you?
Amen. Amen.
There's not one good thing in you except what God put within you when you were saved. The rest of you is bad. He said, well, we're here in the seminary. Flesh. Is flesh, no matter where it is. Now, I'm not talking about meat, bone, hair. I'm talking about the old Adam, Adamic mixture.
Mm-hmm.
It's that's what I mean by flesh. You know, the Bible talks about flesh.
Spirit.
I'm talking about the flesh, what we are from Adam. It's the same, whether it's in seminary or whether it's down here in jail,
that's right,
or at Cummins prison. So you got a bright future, but it's all because of God.
Amen.
You start bragging, you start cheating.
Amen.
You start bragging on yourself, you start cheating. You're cheating God out of the glory. It belongs to Him. Now it looked like sometime Paul was going to brag on himself, but he didn't. You know, he said he worked hard. He said he did, but you think, well, he's gonna brag. But before he got through, he's bragging on the Lord, wasn't he? Wasn't he? Bragging on the Lord. So when you think about heaven, then put a little spring in your step. You know, we're not going to stay here on this planet Earth very long. You're not very far behind me. The gap closes as you get older. I don't know. That's kind of strange, you know. You take a boy that's 10 and a brother that's 20. Oh boy, how wide that is. 10, an old 10-year-old boy going around, you know, 20-year-old man. But wait till they get 60 and 70. Or 70 and 80.
Yeah, right.
It's just kind of strange if it get close considerably. It's kind of interesting. got a bright future, which is not anything to prompt us to sit down, but prompt us to work. You know the great motivating power that God recognizes? It's love. Love. Why should I love God? Because He first loved me. You'll find that in, and I tell you, I hope, listen, let me say this, while everybody's in good humor on the road to heaven, you know. your memory work counts a third of your grade. Your memory work counts a third of your grade. In other words, your memory work grade will be a third of what your final grade. They pick it a third on. So, you know, every 100 you can get in helps, but boy, when you make a zero, on average, that pulls it way down. Mm-hmm. You got to make 100 long, a lot of times to make up for that. So, be not weary in well doing, due season you reap, if you faint not. If you faint not. Now the results of compassion. When there's compassion in the heart, we will grow in the knowledge and grace of God. We'll grow. That's true. We will have an abundance of the overflow life. Now, there is such a thing as life, and then there is such a thing as abundant life. You see, there are people in hospitals here in Little Rock today, right now, in varying degrees of health. Some of them are able to walk a little bit, others may be able to sit up on the bed, others all they can do is lie still, some have lapsed into coma, still living. But when you think of the life that we have, all of us right here, compared with these sick people in various hospitals over the city and nation, you'd have to say by comparison they have life, but we have abundant life. We walk, we could run real fast, something get out. I mean, we still have, we talk, laugh, walk, compared with them, we have abundant life. See? Now, just carry that across. Just pull that out in your mind and carry it across in the realm of spiritual. Now, a lot of people just have life. But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundant. Now, God not only wants us to have life, but He wants us to have the abundant life. And it's really the people with abundant life that get the job done in the work of the Lord. The others are so weak, they feed on the weak turnip soup of gossip, and they don't eat the right thing, they don't exercise in the work of the Lord. Just barely can't stand alone, just can't help anyone. In fact, need a little help themselves just to get around. See, it's the abundant life that we have to have. Be strong. Not only help ourselves, but to help others. May I tell you again, babies don't work. They hinder the work. They hinder the work. Well, thanks again for the visitors.